So this morning we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha, Text 48. Ya eva eta hare medhaso hare hata subhadra kataniya mahina shunvita bhaktya shravayeta Janardana Syashu Riddhi Prasidati Ya eva metam hari medaso hare Katam subhadram kataniya mayana Shunvita Bhaktya Shravayeta Voshatim Janardana Syashu Riddhi Prasidati Ya eva metam hari medaso hare Katam subhadram kataniya mayana Shunvita bhaktya shravayeta voshatim Janardana syashu riddhi prasidati
Who
destroys the material existence of the devotee? Of the personality of Godhead.
Narration.
Subhadram.
Auspicious.
Kataniya.
Worthy to narrate.
Mayana.
Of the merciful.
By his internal potency. Shunvita hears, bhaktya in devotion, shravayeta,
also allows others to hear,
ushatim, very pleasing, Janardana,
the Lord,
Asya.
Is Ashur, very soon,
within the heart,
proceedati,
becomes very pleased. Translation. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Bhor, which is worthy of description, the Lord, who is within the heart of everyone, is pleased. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In his various incarnations, the Lord appears, acts, and leaves behind him a narrative history which is as transcendental as he himself. Every one of us is fond of hearing some wonderful narration, but those stories are neither auspicious nor worth hearing, because they are of the inferior quality of material nature. Every living entity is of superior quality, spirit soul, and nothing material can be auspicious for him. Intelligent persons should therefore hear personally and cause others to hear the descriptive narrations of the Lord's activities, for that will destroy the pangs of material existence. Out of his causeless mercy only, the Lord comes to this earth and leaves behind his merciful activities, so that the devotees may derive transcendental benefit. If one hears and describes in the devotional service attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Hoa, which is worthy of description, the Lord, who is within the heart of everyone, is very pleased. Nama Aum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Kuntale Shumata Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Tidamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Near Vishnu Shunyavadi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Das Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vajkam Turidhyasya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Padidana Padalevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Yes, well, this is a very wonderful verse and purport, which is emphasizing a point which is often made, regularly made, in Srimad Bhagavatam and even in just all of our transcendental literatures, that hearing and chanting, first hearing then chanting, these are just primary activities in Krishna consciousness. Of course, they're so primary, we know that Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, when he lists out the 9 devotional activities, Shravanam, hearing, and Kirtanam, chanting, are the first 2. So, yes, in that sort of classic sense, as per the descriptions of Shastra and the great authorities, hearing and chanting of the Lord comes first. Of course, just in a very simple sense, if you have not heard about something, how can you chant about it? It's basically physically impossible if you have just not heard at all about any subject matter. Even you could think of just some ordinary material, academic type of subject matter. Like one devotee, disciple of mine in Siberia. Would you believe he has a PhD in some version of microbiotics with focus on trying to cure HIV? And he asked me once, he had to write some sort of presentation. He speaks English, sort of. I mean, he can communicate. But he had to write a presentation in English for some academic thing in America. And he gave me his presentation and asked me to sort of anglicize it, put it in real English. that I couldn't understand it. So, I mean, not just the English, but just the subject matter. So if you haven't heard about something, if you're not familiar with the subject, and particularly if you've never heard about it before, how are you going to say anything about it? It's just obviously out of the question. So therefore, hearing comes first. And then to take it a step further, the third process, as given by Prahlad Maharaj, is smarana, remembering. And again, if you haven't heard, and chanted perhaps, but at least heard, how are you going to remember about something you never heard about? Good question. And then, smaranam padasevanam archanam nandanam dasyam sakyam atmanavedanam, all these other processes, they all follow on. How are you going to be inspired to serve the lotus feet of someone you don't know anything about, or maybe you don't even know they exist? Or at least you haven't heard nicely and learned and become convinced, then you may want to serve and remember and so on and so forth. So hearing has to come first. And if you hear nicely about something nice, once you have heard, you will naturally be inspired to chant about it. And when you chant, you hear also. So therefore everything is compounded. The beneficial result is compounded. And then you become able to remember, and so on. But it all flows, it all begins from hearing. And here, of course, it's put very nicely. Srila Prabhupada, as always, presents the translation very nicely. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude, so of course in one sense, and this we also hear about sometimes, in one sense, if you in any way you hear about Krishna, directly, indirectly, positive attitude, the mood of a devotee, or even negative attitude, or no attitude, just sort of blank, benefit will be there. Benefit will definitely be there. Inasmuch, well, at least an example which is given, is that if somehow or other you contact some intoxicating substance, somehow or other, it will intoxicate you. Even if somehow it happens accidentally, you might think that would be difficult. But, you know, I could just mention one little story. It was back in 1960-something, in the very, very early days, in, if I remember correctly, well, it was definitely in America somewhere, perhaps in San Francisco. The devotees put on a public festival. It may have been a rough edge, but it was definitely a public festival. And in those days, in that part of the world, when you had a Hare Krishna festival, the great majority of the people who were attending, if not all of them, other than the devotees, were hippies. And in all this whole sort of very excessively liberal mood of
all sorts of immoral activities, but including intoxication. So the devotees had prepared prasada, including some sort of orange drink, or some sort of drink, sort of fruit-style drink. Someone put LSD, this hallucinogen, in the drink without anyone knowing, because they thought, you know, this is a good thing to take it to some person, one of the hippies. And everyone was drinking the drink, including the devotees, Hari Bol. Many, if not all, the devotees in those days were highly experienced in such matters. And within a matter of minutes, a number of them had deduced that this has been the sort of slang term is spiked. It has been spiked. Something has been put in it, you know, different from what it really is or is meant to be. And some of the devotees noticed. And so many of the devotees were very serious and trying their best to be devotees, and they didn't want that at all. They didn't want that. But unknowingly, they had taken it, they had contacted it, and it had that effect, and they had to just sort of carry on in their Krishna conscious activities, despite being under the influence of that for several hours. So, but my point is that when people have contact with certain things, then those things act on you, whether you like it or not. And even just in a very simple sense, if it is cold outside and you go outside and you're not properly dressed, you will become cold. That's all. If there is a fire, like a heater or something, and you come close to the fire or the heater, you will become hot. It's the principle of association. So, in this regard, anyone who hears or chants about, in this case, Lord Varaha, but otherwise in general about Krishna or any form of the Lord, or even devotees, etc., then a beneficial effect will be there regardless of the person's attitude. Regardless of the person's attitude. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintami, he discusses this particular aspect of hearing and chanting about the Lord under the heading of Namabhas. Namabhas. Abhas meaning like a shadow, or, you know, can be applied as being a reflection also of Nam, of the holy name. That there are different types of chanting of the holy names which are not pure, as done by pure or very serious devotees. So they're not pure like that. They're also not offensive by someone who has a very negative attitude, or someone who chants while committing the 10 offenses. So this category of chanting called Namabhas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, there are different types, four main different types of Namabhas. meaning it's not pure, and it's not really impure. It's in some sort of intermediate stage, and in some cases, kind of unusual intermediate stage, where, for example, at least two of the forms of Namabhas that he mentions, one is you chant a name of the Lord, but you're doing it unknowingly, meaning you don't know it's the name of the Lord. And rather, you think it is the name of someone or something else. And indeed, you're using it to indicate someone or something other than the Lord. Like, as I may have given the example here before, I forget it. But there, in many parts of the world, there's a very popular, extremely popular form of margarine called Rama. Rama margarine. Do you have it in Mauritius, in the supermarket? It's just about everywhere else in the world. It's in South Africa, it's just all over the place. It's in America, it's in Europe, it's even in Russia. It's just all over Russia. Rama margarine is extremely popular, and which means that many people are going into the shop and deliberately choosing it, selecting it from other margarines. Like, I don't know about here, but at least in South Africa, another very popular margarine is Flora. You have Flora here. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure Rama will come sooner or later, because it's just everywhere else. So you can imagine that some people, they like Rama, and they want Rama, and they don't want Flora. So they go into the shop and they ask the person, the salesperson, where's the Rama? I want Rama. Well, we have Flora. No, I don't want Flora. I only want Rama. So it's Rama, Rama, Rama. And it has a beneficial effect. Even though they are not thinking, this is the name of the Lord, it's spiritually beneficial, like that. And then a second type is when the syllables of a name of the Lord are separated by other syllables. And, you know, I would have thought I had talked about this before here. A classic example that one devotee somehow figured out was that this occurs in the name of the previous president of America. In his name is a holy name of the Lord, but it's divided by syllables. Let me just tell you what it is. Barack Obama. One devotee figured it out. But Rama is there. It's there. It's definitely there. But there are other syllables in between. But still, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so it's definitely true, there is benefit. There's definitely benefit. Or like here, when I came, actually, I think it was for the Kirtan Mela, we arrived in Haridev Prabhu's house, I think it must have been, and there was a number of people gathered when we arrived, and there was one young fellow. At the end of the program, I asked him, what's your name? He said, Krishna. I said, really? I've been looking for you for years. anyway, that's a name of the Lord being applied to someone or something else. But it's still beneficial. Okay. So, but now, of course, well, we've sort of inferred it, but the point is made in the verse. If one hears and describes in a devotional service attitude, this auspicious narration of Lord Bohr. So all these things means that the result, the effect, what influence it has, depends on the attitude or consciousness of the chanter, if it's another person, of the hearer, and then if the same person is the chanter and the hearer, well, it all depends. It's like transcendental relativity. In a sense, those two words are contradictory. Transcendental relativity. But it's there. That depending on the attitude, the consciousness of the chanter and or the hearer, the effect will be different, or even it may be radically different, actually, in extreme cases. In extreme cases, there's a famous verse, so famous I've forgotten it, but the last line is Sarpachishtam Yata Paya. You know that verse? Anyway, sarpa means snake, and uchishta means remnants. When you're taking prasadam, if you don't finish it all, what's left is in Sanskrit called uchishta. Uchishta, remnants, or leftovers, depending on who you are. So sarpa uchishta. Yata paya, milk touched by the lips of a serpent has a poisonous effect. This famous statement, I'm sure we've all heard it on numerous occasions, is referring to when a person hears the holy name or some Krishna katha coming from a snake-like person means like a really devious, nonsense, rascal person who is basically, you could say, abusing the holy name, an offender, like a real offender. If you hear the chanting of the holy names or some katha from them, then even though in one sense, of course, it's transcendental subject matter, transcendental names. But what happens is, it's interesting, the principle is that when a person chants the holy name or speaks something about the Lord, some part of them becomes attached to the what is otherwise, at least sort of fundamentally, transcendental sound vibration. Some part of them becomes attached to it. The same principle is there with prasadam. You can look and see, actually, if you can find it, in Srila Prabhupada's letters. There's a letter where Prabhupada is replying to a devotee who is obviously asked, and Prabhupada just says it, that you are asking whether after the Sunday feast, and, you know, the guests, the newcomers, and actually not really devotees in the real sense of the term, somebody just come for a free meal. And so they eat something, and then they may throw away some of what was on their plate. So the idea was, the devotee was asking, should we go through the rubbish bin and find the plates which have some, whatever it is, some prasadam preparation, and eat that? Oh, I'm sorry. We lose your association. So the devotee wrote to Prabhupada asking, should we find this prasadam and eat it? So that prasadam, which is a form of the Lord, is not offended by just being thrown away. And Srila Prabhupada replied, no, don't take the remnants of my unqualified people, because some of their consciousness is transferred, if not onto the prasadam. And when you eat it, you pick up some of them. So, you know, this is there in Krishna consciousness. You know, in regard to prasadam, on the other hand, even when Mahaprasadam, the remnants of Sri Sri Radha Galokananda, when the Mahaprasadam has been taken by some elevated devotee, but then there's still some left also, then that is referred to as Maha Prasadam. Yes. So you see, because even though it's prasadam, but depending on the mentality of the person who ate it, if some is left, some part of the person has become connected with that prasadam. So it's no, in the case of like, we would wait outside Prabhupada's rooms in Bhaktivedanta Manor for his, you know, it was Mahaprasadam from Radha Gokulananda. We would wait outside for some Mahamaha. And the particular thing, and it was all popular, but the very popular thing was the pieces of orange. They would just cut an orange with the skin on. Prabhupada would suck the juice out. And so, you know, you get the fibers and the skin. And we would just eat the whole thing. And that was considered, you know, really good maha. So the same principle applies here. And it's mentioned in the verse. When you hear the description which is being presented, or if you make a description, presenting it with a devotional attitude, there is great benefit. And in a broad sense, almost regardless of attitude, there'll be benefit. Except in extreme cases, where the attitude is bad, then better to avoid. So, yes. So that, particularly when it's presented in a devotional attitude, it's auspicious. The term, of course, in the Sanskrit is Subhadra. There, or Subhadra, is the sort of basic noun form. Bhadra means auspicious. Subhadra means very auspicious. Abhadra means inauspicious, not auspicious. So the point is that when you hear and or chant in a devotional attitude, the effect on you will be not just auspicious, but in the literal sense, according to the Sanskrit, very auspicious. It's very, very auspicious. If you hear those narrations, which the verse says, the term is kataniya. Kata, of course, is referring to the transcendental sound vibration. And kataniya indicates that it is worthy of hearing or talking. It's very worthy. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada made the point that in material life, Prabhupada says, every one of us is fond of hearing some wonderful narration, but most stories are neither auspicious nor worth hearing, because they are of the inferior quality of material nature. Yes, so hearing some story, or you know, nowadays Sri Sri Radhika Lokananda Ki Sri Giri Govardhanki Sri Sri Gaurantari Ki films are very popular, television is very popular, all these things are very popular. Reading books is still popular. These are all ways of of presenting stories. They're all ways of presenting stories. And you get, you know, maybe some of you are more aware than me, but I know that you get these comic book heroes, Superman, Batman, and company, and they make movies of them now, and they become so popular. They make series of movies. James Bond, from my childhood. Oh yes, James Bond was there. He's still there. He hasn't aged. You know, imagine like 50 years later, he's still fighting, able to fight the bad guys. Because he had to reincarnate, so to speak. But I heard some time ago that the series of James Bond has been like 25 films, something like that. So it means a lot of people, are very fascinated with James Bond or whoever these people are. You know, the comic characters, when I was a child, Batman was popular, Superman. We used to read these comics all the time. And they used to make Batman serials before television existed. Batman serials, and we would have to go every Saturday to the local movie theater to find out what happened to Batman, because at the end of the previous episode, Batman was in trouble in some way or another. So the thing is, these types of things, whether they're presented verbally, books, films, television, etc., they're extremely popular. These people These people are making millions and billions from acting and producing and all that, these types of things. So what is it? What is the sort of foundational principle which is involved? The foundational principle is that because everyone has within the heart a relationship with Krishna, who is the hero to end all heroes? Just, you know, in another dimension altogether. And whose love story with Srimati Radharani is just so far beyond Romeo and Juliet, etc., etc. Within the heart, everyone has an attraction to such things. It's just part of the nature of the soul. But when people, when the living entity falls down into material life and happily forgets Krishna, still the drive, we want heroes, we want special people and people, we want love and we want to see love and so on. But they had no idea of Krishna. So that tendency of the living entity deep within the nature of the living entity, and it cannot be removed, it's just built in, it's a permanent fixture. It has to come out. It has to come out. But when you don't know about Krishna, it still has to come out, but then it comes out, it's directed towards Superman, Batman, and, you know, these types of characters. Because Superman has been around from before I was a child. It means at least 70 or 80 years Superman has been around. Extremely popular, and Batman. And that's the principle. People are looking for Krishna, looking for that real hero, looking for Radha and Krishna, or Sita and Ram, that real love story. But they don't know where to look. They don't have really, anyway, they don't know where to look, so they look in the wrong places. And what happens when you look for something and you look in the wrong place where you cannot find that? You become disappointed. And that's the nature of material life. Material life means many disappointed people. Many people who have hopes, who even have optimism of finding this and achieving that and ultimately becoming happy through that, and they become disappointed because the material nature is not able to give the result they're looking for. So therefore, in the great material love stories, for example, probably the most famous, I think, is Romeo and Juliet. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but it's a big love story. And in the end, they both commit suicide. How do you know? Talk about disappointing. They both commit suicide. Hare Krishna. So, yeah, material life. So this tendency to hear about, to glorify, hear glorification, It needs to be directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we become satisfied. That actually we become more than satisfied. We cannot, at this stage in our development in Krishna consciousness, we cannot even really comprehend how satisfied we are going to become as time goes on. As long as we here in a devotional service attitude, descriptions which are presented with the same devotional service attitude, it's just amazing. The experience is completely amazing. Devotees, very advanced devotees, well, Srila Rupa Goswami says, it's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, I do not know how much nectar is there in the two syllables, Krishna. I don't know how much. But when I chant these two, the experience for my tongue is so amazing. I wish I had 100 tongues. How can I experience it properly, adequately with one tongue? My one tongue is just not sort of able. And when I hear the two syllables, Krishna, I wish I had 1,000 ears. At least I've got 2 ears, I've only got one tongue. So it is better for the ears. But still, I wish I had 1,000. Because it sounds so amazing, so wonderful. How can I relish that properly, sufficiently, just with 2 ears? And when those 2 syllables enter into the courtyard of my heart, through my ear, then I become overwhelmed and all my senses become inert. So that is the effect. We are not, with all due respect, as far as I can make out, we are not experiencing it like that. Are we? Any of you? Becoming stunned? I haven't seen it. I don't think we're experiencing it. But we're definitely experiencing something. Particularly, one interesting little point I could make is that anyone who is somehow chanting 16 rounds, even if it's not easy, even if sometimes it's difficult, anyone who's at least able to keep chanting without the mind forcing them to stop and demanding to focus on something else, anyone who can chant 16 rounds in a day somehow, what to speak of doing it nicely, but anyone who can at least do it, some mercy is coming. Krishna is giving some mercy. And some experience is coming, even though it may be not very great. But some experience is coming and some mercy is coming. Otherwise, it's physically impossible to do it. Try chanting. Well, Prabhupada said, try chanting 16 rounds of Coca-Cola and see how it feels. See what feeling you get. Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, Cola-Cola, Coca-Cola, or something like that. And see what experience you get, how it actually feels. You can try if you want to report that. So, yeah. So the Lord, out of His causeless mercy, in terms, this is particularly talking about narrations of his activities. Prabhupada says that the Lord out of his causeless mercy comes and leaves behind his merciful activities. He mercifully comes and deliberately does amazing, wonderful things and arranges that the records of those are left so that we can hear them. And then if we hear nicely from a good source, then, the benefit is great for us, and the Lord, seeing that we're doing it, the Lord becomes very pleased with us. The Lord becomes very pleased with us. Now, the principle is there, even in material life. If someone glorifies you, it's very hard to not feel good about it. Unless you make like an effort to control your mind and your emotions, it's very difficult to avoid feeling good about it if someone glorifies you. You know, and we could try it by saying that Krishna Das Prabhu, he's a very self-controlled person. He won't smile. But he could say, because we know, because I've known him for many years, he is a really nice devotee and a really nice person. And he's already smiling. Why is it that we smile when we're glorified or appreciated, something nice is said about us? It is because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have many of the same tendencies, so many in our small ways. Krishna likes to be glorified. He becomes very pleased when we glorify him in this way or that. And because we are little parts and parcels of Krishna, we also like it. And it can be impossible to stop, even, sometimes. To stop feeling good if you get glorified. So when this all happens, we are benefited, Krishna is pleased. And when Krishna is pleased with you, that's the perfection of life. That's what we're looking for. We would like to see that smile on Krishna's face, on Prabhupada's face, on the faces of the devotees, when we, in our humble way, do some Krishna conscious activity. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Or correction, Krishna Das Prabhu?
There are corrections. You miss you about that one. But I have, while you were mentioning about the Navabhas category, there's all subdivisions in it. You mentioned two.
Oh, you know, I think I have to check. But then you talked of four. I think it's four. Yeah. Anyone remember? I can't remember exactly. But look in Thailand. Any other comment or question? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.
Thank you.